Take your copy of God's Word and turn with me to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews, chapter 5. Sometimes preaching and teaching and instructing people in the Bible can be amazingly hard work. Sometimes it's hard because there is much to say. Simple truth is that the truth is not simple. Tozer reminds us that those who bleat for simplicity usually get fed error. So we have a massive body of truth in 66 books written by numerous authors in two major languages, all expressing the mind of God. And the writer of Hebrews faced this. There is much to say. And sometimes it's hard because it's difficult to explain. Literally, it can be hard of interpretation. In other words, the author is proclaiming the truth of God, the Word, by interpreting and explaining and applying what it means for Jesus to be our priest in Melchizedek's order as we look at the text. And you know how to teach, who teach, know how this is. You have what is so clear in your own mind. And it just doesn't come across. That's why we write manuscripts. Because in the office with the Spirit, you know whether or not you can actually say what you're thinking, rather than that happening up here. A great number of the nourishing truths of the Bible are not easy to explain. And that will be true in Hebrews. And the author here faces an even more difficult situation. He has much to say. It is difficult to explain because his readers and hearers are dull of hearing. The author of the book of Hebrews is deeply concerned about our response to the Word. His first warning was that we must not drift from the Word and neglect the greatness of our salvation. And now he warns us about dullness in our hearing of the Word and our neglecting the importance of maturity and growing up. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 to 14. Here is what our author says. This is God's Word. Verse 11. And about this, Jesus being in the order of Melchizedek, we have much to say. It's hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk and not solid food, for everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness since he is a child. Solid food is for the mature, for the grown-ups, if you will, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. So in this text, there is a problem. I'm going to use the motif of a disease in verse 11. Now, the author has been laboring to exhort and warn his hearers. The promises of God are great because of the supremacy of Jesus. So we must hear and hope and hold fast. We must believe them in an obeying way. And frankly, this has been argued not because it is good for us or will make us into better people or even get anything. No, mostly has been argued just because Jesus is superior. But I guess I hear the author sort of sigh. He's like many preachers and teachers. What he has in mind and in his heart is simply not going to be as clear as it should. And this is not because of some fault in the preacher or teacher, nor certainly because of some fault in the Holy Spirit who inspired all this. But because people are slow to learn and dull in their hearing. This is what all the exhortations and admonitions have been about. Pay attention. Consider. Don't harden your heart. Fear. Be diligent. Hold fast. We've heard all of those. And all of these are the doctor's prescription for the disease of drift and doubt and hear dullness. So an urgent question. Do you have this disease? If so, how do you cure it? Well, before we cure something, we need to understand it as thoroughly as possible. So let's take two key words here, dullness and hearing, and really see what they mean. The word dullness itself means sluggish or slow. It's connected to the word lazy. It is used one other time in the New Testament, and that is in Hebrews 6:11 through 12. Where he writes, we want each of you to show the same diligence to the end in order to make your hope sure. We do not want any of you to become, there's the word, lazy, dull, slow. But imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. We do not want you to become lazy. Well, the opposite of dullness or sluggishness is what? Diligence. The opposite of dullness of hearing is diligence in turning what you hear into what you believe, the message of faith into the assurance of hope. The problem is not with your physical ears. Maybe some of you, like me, you know, tinnitus at 20 dB. But that's not the real problem, because the real problem is with our heart. You do not treasure, nor prize, nor value the word and the promises it brings. And so you don't give your time and energy and attention to pay attention. And so there's no faith and no patience. Most of you do not care at all about Bayern Munich's soccer team. I started to say football, but that was going to confuse you. And so you don't know how they're doing. You don't know who's on their team. You don't care. You don't treasure. You don't value. You don't know their roster. You don't know their wins and losses. You don't know who they're playing, who they played yesterday. Why is that? What's wrong with you? It's because you don't care. Stop nodding me, Michael Engel. I care a lot. I say that because, frankly, that's what happens to many of you when it comes to the Word. At the end of the day, you don't hear it with faith because, And ultimately, there will be no inheriting of eternal life if that's the way you hear the word all the time. You see, this disease is not like an ingrown toenail. This disease is spiritually dangerous. This disease of a slowness to learn. And the second word used to describe this disease occurs one other time in Hebrews 4. In Hebrews 4, 2. For we have also had the gospel preached to us, just as they did, but the message they, same word, heard, was of no value to them, because those who heard did not combine it with faith in the hearing. Well, there's the same problem there. A word of good news, the message of the promises of God, and there is a hearing, goes in the ears, but it does not enter the heart in a way that the heart responds with belief and faith. It's not mixed with what has already been believed so as to grow in new belief. The scripture goes into the ears and it comes into the hearts and it meets dullness and slowness and hardness. And so the opposite of dullness of hearing is hearing with faith, believing in an obeying way. Now we can see the same thing in Hebrews 3:18-19. And to whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest if not those who disobeyed. So we see they were not able to enter because of their disbelief. So the switch from disobedient to disbelieving, the root of all disobedience is unbelief, a lack of trust in the promises and the person and the precepts of God. So, whichever way you look at it, whether dullness or hearing, you come to the same conclusion. Dullness of hearing is this. It is hearing without faith and what faith produces. It's hearing the Bible or preaching of the Bible. It's hearing the Bible or the preaching of the Bible the way you hear the freeway noise. Now, I'm thankful we don't hear this too much anymore like we used to. Up and down. There's cars going up and down there. There's trucks using their air brakes. And after a while, you tune it out. You don't hear it anymore. It's background noise. So, Flight 723 is going to be ready to go on the plane. And you think, no way to hear that, no way to understand that. So you tune it out. You don't hear them anymore. And then you're rushing up to the counter because, oops, you almost missed your flight. This is the way we hear the word sometimes. To us,
it sounds like this announcement that's being made when you're not standing there.
That's the way we hear it. It's traffic on the interstate. That's the way we hear it. Children have a remarkable capacity to even acknowledge what you say to them without their truly hearing what you said. Oh, really? And so do Christians. Because that's why we don't hear, because we are infants. We are not grown up. We may even say, yes, Father, but we really haven't heard. We've grown dull in our ears and in our hearts. The word heard does cause a genuine response in the heart. And at the end of the parable of the four soils in Luke 8, Jesus gives a very serious warning in verse 18. Therefore, you consider carefully how you're listening. Whoever has will be given more. But whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, may be taken or will be taken away from him. These are serious words. It means that if you hear the word with careful diligence to obey, then you will receive further grace for greater believing obedience. But if you are dull and negligent, you will find even what little you have may be lost. Listen to me. Be diligent, earnest in how you hear. Lazy, drifting, passive, dull listening is dangerous. Jesus in the parable and the author in this book are making the same point. If you want more grace to hear better, then begin listening with a poise to believe and obey. So here's the problem. How do we know this is the problem? What is the proof? If I can continue my little metaphor, what are the symptoms? Verses 12 through 13. How does the author and how would we know that we have this disease? What symptoms has he observing that cause him to make this diagnosis? Listen to verses 12 and 13 again. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food, for everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness since he is a child. Now, three symptoms here. First is their lack of sharing God's word. His meaning is quite clear. The symptoms are right there for all to see. There's been a proper passage of time for them to have become familiar enough with the Bible that they can comfortably share its truths. Now, careful now. He's not saying that at some point every believer can mature into becoming a skilled and formal teacher of the word. It's not what he's talking about. That is a spiritual gift. But every believer can reach a point of maturity in which he can carefully, comfortably instruct the lost and new believers in the basics. You know them well enough, you practice them diligently enough to where you should be able to sit down and say, This is God. This is man. This is sin. This is salvation. Now, there are two possible failures that have led to this. They never may have been adequately taught, or they may have been slow to learn. See, some people just never taught the Bible. But that's not their problem. They have been slow to learn. They've been dull and slow and sluggish in their hearing and heeding of God's Word. Now, the second symptom is their lack of mastering God's Word, verse 12. They were unable to take the Word in and to master it. Now, I'm well aware that all of us are in different places in this line of from not knowing in the Word and to becoming mature with the Word. We're all in different places. So wherever you are in that place, the point of this sermon is not to pound on you because you're there, but rather to motivate you to move further. And maybe to do a little bit of self-diagnosis as to why you may be closer to the immature, infant, ignorant side than you are the mature, adult side. Do you have an attainable goal in your life, some mastery of the Word? Do you even care to go on to the deep truths and the solid food? Some dear soul who loved us a lot when I was growing up in Africa, sent us a crate of Gerber's baby food. The crate said, my mom and dad told me, crate said variety. It was a variety of green beans. A crate. Mom said it got so bad that when I would throw it, she would join me. Now, you know, baby food's good, milk is good, but there's a problem. If I were still eating Gerber's green bean baby food, that's what some people are still doing. For one of you, it's because it's green, but we'll go beyond that. Everybody knows who I'm talking about. First symptom is their lack of sharing God's Word. The second symptom is their lack of mastering God's Word. They're still eating Gerber baby food. And then their lack of experience with God's Word, verse 13. Well, someone may object, I've been comparing this to Aziz when the author compares it to being infants or immature. You'd all recognize that anyone who is old enough to eat meat and was still being bottle fed has a serious problem. In other words, there's a disease that causes older believers not to mature, and that disease is called dullness of hearing. So we have a third symptom. They are unskilled in the word of righteousness. The idea here is that they have no personal experience with the word or the message of righteousness. It's easy to illustrate. At some point in my life, I've tried to improve my golf game. Those of you who played with me know it needs in serious need of improvement. So I have a very good instructional book at home. I love to sit in the evening at times and read that book. It tells me all about the components of a good swing. It tells me how to hold the club and how to position my feet, keep my knees bent, my eye on the ball. It gives all sorts of neat aids that can correct all sorts of nasty ruinations of a pleasant day on the course. I can hear Alistair Begg, who is an avid golfer, say, "Let the club head do the work." Well, my club head sends the ball skittering off to the right. Well, what does all this prop do me? When I'm sitting in my lounge chair dreaming of not double bogeying every hole in the course? No. All of this is profitable to me only when I go out on the driving range or out on the course and then to experience, hopefully, what all those wonderful techniques really mean. What it really means when a club head traveling maybe 50 miles an hour, impacts a loaded golf ball and an effective surface of less than a quarter of a square inch. It's when that happens that I am acquainted with the word of instruction about golf. It is here. They have become armchair believers. They were exposed to the word. They're being instructed in the word. They've just not gone out into the golf course and gotten some real experience with life. They were living on the milk. I don't want this message to discourage those of you who are new to faith, or those of you who hunger to move from milk to meat. But to many of you who have been believers for years and ought to be able to share the word with others and ought to have some mastery of the word, I want this message to shake you. In fact, I want this message to pierce your dullness. I want this word to be mixed with faith in you so that it does what faith produces. You must not respond to this with such excuses as, well, I don't have time, I'm not well educated, I'm a simple person. Because as we will see next, being slow to learn is not a mental problem. It's not a time problem. It is, in fact, a moral issue. Verse 14. Here's the cure. Here's the prescription. What is the remedy to this disease? Why are some Christians stuck at the baby stage of development with the disease of dullness of hearing? What's the cure? Verse 14. A solid food is for the mature. How did they become mature? Those who have their powers of discernment trained by practice to distinguish good from evil. Not what you expect. Solid food is for mature, for those who read and study and spend lots of time in the Word and reading commentaries and developing their knowledge of the Bible. Is that what it says? No. You become mature through practice. You become mature by putting the Bible to use. You can grow to maturity even on milk. Did you know that? I know lots of Christians who are not taught the Bible, hardly at all. But they are very mature Christians. How does that happen? Because they put to practice the milk they receive, and as a result, even on milk, strangely, they grow up. Now, it's not ideal, but bless God. Because there are people sitting in churches that aren't going to get this in any form. It's going to be the basics over and over and over again. And what do? They hear it. They love God for it. They put it into practice. And they go out and they grow up on milk. We all, every one of you, knows Christians like that. And maybe you're a Christian like that. So you're new to a place where the Word of God is taught in depth. But you've already achieved and attained a certain level of maturity. And that maturity came because you had the bottle and you had the Gerber's green beans. And you did stuff with it and you lived it and you practiced it. And your senses are exercised so that you grow thereby. Here's what healthy Christians look like. They're mature in their experience and the taking in the meat of the word. There is a grown-upness to them. How do we get there? How do Christians become healthy? Well, we don't get there by jumping immediately from milk to meat. It's a common mistake. It's a bent of our old nature to think that education and information will solve everything. The solution for more immature Christians to begin eating meat. It's not what the text says. The solution for mature Christians is to begin exercising with what you already know. Yes, you need to grow. And if you're sitting here regularly, I think you'll have the opportunity. But not if what you are hearing is never, ever experienced. You're just sitting in your armchair with your book, reading about stuff that you never go out and do. And the problem is not that milk is weak or babies can't eat steak. The problem is that the babes are not exercising with the milk they have. The mature who, by constant use of milk, have trained themselves, their spiritual senses, to distinguish good from evil. This challenges the normal way we think about things. We think that going deeper things of the Word of God is like an academic pursuit. You read more, you take better notes, you read deeper writers and commentaries, and you think that maturity will come with knowledge. And that is not true. Maturity comes through using what you know. And you start with milk, and you start with the basics, and you engage the primary text of the Word, and you read the best of the simple books. You take in milk, and you use the milk you are taking in to think and act with discernment. But if you don't use what you know, I don't care how deep it is, to make better choices, moral and wisdom choices, you will not, you simply will not go on to maturity. As a matter of fact, you will have the deadly disease of dead knowledge, knowledge without life. You want to eat solid food of the Word, you must exercise your spiritual senses so as to develop a heart and a mind that discerns between good and evil. If you struggle with the harder things of the Bible, like Melchizedek, it may be because of the wisdom and moral choices you make. Maybe the TV you watch, the things that you read. If you stumble over doctrine of election, maybe it's because of your shady business practice. If you stumble over God-centered work and the supremacy of Christ and the cross, it may be because you love money and you spend too much and give too little. The pathway to maturity and to solid biblical food is not first becoming an intelligent person, but by becoming an obedient person. What you do with alcohol and sex and money and leisure and food and computer have more to do with your capacity for solid food than with where you go or went to school or what books you read. Let me wrap this up. Key to maturity and the remedy to dullness of hearing is the way you drink with milk or with meat. You drink it in. That is, you listen to the milk of the Word, God's promises and principles and precepts in the Scriptures. You read them for yourself in the Bible, and you sit regularly under expository sermons and the systematic teaching of the Word. You give heed. You are alert and earnest and diligent to apply your heart and mind to what is being said. You are not passive. You are not cavalier. You're not indifferent. You care. And you think about the milk. You meditate. You work it over in your mind. You ponder its connections in the Bible. You particularly ponder its connections to your life. You wrestle with its message and its meaning. You desire it and you delight in it. You talk to God about it. You talk to others about it. You learn to profit from the milk you are tasting. Therefore, the Word begins to change your heart. And you begin thinking carefully about your life and you discern good and evil. You have to make hundreds of decisions every day. Most are wisdom decisions. Many will be moral decisions. And you will begin to use the Word to make them. You will begin more and more to understand where the line is. You will know whether what is allowed is a good decision, is wiser. You will be able to make discerning decisions about money and food and possessions and cars and relationships and movies and time and ministry and so on. How does this discernment, this ability to distinguish between good and evil comes? It comes from habitually, that is, by regular practice of nourishing and shaping your spiritual senses by the Word of God. Until that Word is to you a discerning power, a Word producing righteousness in the mature. Discernment is what you do when the milk of God's Word becomes the mind of Christ in your heart. So, may God firmly anchor us that we will not drift from the Word and fully enable us that we will not be dull in our hearing of the Word. Let's seek and savor the milk and the meat of the Word. Let's become satisfied with God and His promises. Let us regularly distinguish good from evil with the truth that we know. Let us become mature with the milk of the Word so we can enjoy and profit from the meat of the Word. May God grant that we will grow up. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Give us grace to love it, to desire it, to delight in it, and to use it to become discerning, to know the difference between good and evil, to know the difference between poor and wise decisions. Grant that we will grow up, that we may be able to take in the meat in a way that is profitable. In Jesus' name.